Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, friends, thank you so much for tuning in, for praying, for sharing the podcast. Kind of a tough topic today. Anti-Semitism, discrimination against Christians. There's so much to discuss with our brother, Chris Katulka, Vice President of North American Ministries, FOI Today radio host. He leads FOI's ministry in the United States and Canada. And Friends of Israel, my goodness, we've all got to be friends of Israel if you are a Bible-believing Christian. Chris, brother, good to see you. Thanks for your time.
David, thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome. FOI.org, friends, FOI.org. So let's start off by talking about something free. We are going to talk about the shooting that the FBI is investigating, the killing of Israeli embassy employees. Seems like a hate crime. We'll talk about that. And they are believers in Christ, Messianic Jews. We'll talk
That's correct.
More about that with you, get the details. But you've got some stickers or something that people can get for free. How do they do that?
Yeah, this is actually an amazing ministry opportunity. And I know you might be thinking, how can something as mundane as stickers be a ministry opportunity? But we want to give out free stickers to your watchers, to your listeners that support Israel and the Jewish people. They can go to our website, gofoi.org/stickers. And when they sign up, we're going to send you 50 free stickers. And you might go, all right, who cares about stickers? I can't tell you how many opportunities to talk about Jesus, to talk about Israel and the Jewish people has popped up because of these stickers. You know, when you stick them on the back of your phone, when you put them on your water bottle, when you put them on your Bible, I've seen them on hard hats. People put them on their hard hats when they're going to work. Naturally, the stickers create a conversation piece. And so a lot of questions have come up. I could tell you, we could spend this entire time talking about the ministry that's come from these stickers, but we want your listeners to have them. If they go to gofoi.org/stickers, we want to send them 50 of them.
50. Wow, that's awesome. But either way, friends, just know that we need to be praying for organizations like Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. And Chris, that's why it's such an important topic, especially for Bible-believing Christians in America. We've seen what's happened on college campuses, the idiocy, the radicalism, the anti-Semitism, off the charts, that we were kind of, a lot of us taken off guard after the horrific attacks in Israel, October 7, a year ago or so. And then we saw what was happening in America. So I think that opened a lot of people's eyes. Well, church, we need to be supporters of Israel. I'll leave it at that. We were going to talk about your podcast, too. I want to make sure people know where they can listen, the Jew and Gentile podcast. So tell us about that, Chris.
Yeah, so it's myself. Don't be fooled by the beard. I'm actually the Gentile, but my brother in the Lord, Steve Herzig, is a Jewish believer in Jesus. He grew up in an Orthodox Jewish community, in the Orthodox Jewish family, and he brings such an amazing wealth of information about the importance of Israel and the Jewish people. He sees the scriptures from a Jewish perspective, and I get to bring that in. So we're the Jew and Gentile podcast. We've got almost 200 episodes for people to listen to. We study the scriptures together. We look at the events that are taking place in Israel and with Jewry around the world. And then also we get a chance to promote our programs that help educate Christians about the importance of Israel and the Jewish people. It's called our FOI Equip programs. And there people for free can log on and learn how they can minister to their Jewish friends, learn more about what's going on with Israel from a biblical perspective. And that's all happening right there at the Jew and Gentile podcast.
Awesome. Awesome, guys. Check that out. Now, before we get to the killing of the Israeli embassy employees, you've got conferences coming up. Tell us a little bit about that.
Friends of Israel has been teaching about God's prophetic word since its founding in 1938. Our magazine, Israel My Glory, which I know you're familiar with as well, Israel My Glory has been in publication since 1942. And so we really take seriously the teaching of God's prophetic word about what's going to happen in the future, but also the importance of Israel and the Jewish people and how they fit in God's plan of redemption. And so we have two big conferences that are going on right now. Our Proclaim conferences, we just wrapped one up in Redding, California. I was there. We had a great attendance, a lot of great participation from the crowd as we're studying the last days, living in the last days. And then our PUC conferences, our Prophecy Up Close conferences, they're also conferences where we're studying Gog and Magog, the future Israel's future invasion and the future invasion of Gog and Magog from Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. And so these are two big conferences that are going on right now. And your listeners and watchers can go to our website, foi.org, and there you can attend these conferences. What's amazing about them, David, is that they're technically free conferences. They're free. You can just show up and there will be a seat for you. But if you'd like to register, which we hope that you do, you can also purchase a lunch for the day and be a part of a community that's learning about God's prophetic plan for Israel and the Jewish people and for the world as well.
Oh my goodness, we have so much catching up to do in the American church because we have not been taught the truth, the whole truth about Israel and about, Genesis 12:3, everything else. But I want to direct people to one more thing, Chris. I came across this on your website. So important for us to understand, whose land is it anyway? There's a free giveaway that I see on your website. It's a download that you can get if you scroll down on the page. It's a PDF, very important. Whose land, Israel, whose land is it anyway? There's somebody, well, I don't understand the confusion, but I guess I do when you understand the biblical illiteracy in America. So that's why worldview matters, right, Chris?
100%. And, again, your listeners can go to our website there. They can get that free digital download of Whose Land Is It Anyway? And, one of the things that we like to supply at Friends of Israel are resources so that the Christian who loves Israel and the Jewish people biblically can defend what they believe, because it's very important in the world that we live in today to be able to defend biblically why you support Israel and the Jewish people. And you know, as we're going to be talking about in a moment, the two Israeli diplomats that were recently murdered in Washington, D.C., we've got to be able to defend why anti-Semitism is satanic. And all of this are all resources that we can provide you so that you can know what scripture passages to go to and how to defend your position as a Christian Zionist, somebody who believes that the Jewish people have a right to exist in their ancient homeland.
Okay, now the sobering part of the podcast here with you, brother. It was an act of terror. It has the full attention of the FBI. And so the guy was shouting, I don't have it in front of me, Free Palestine or something, the alleged attacker. But these were two employees of the Israeli embassy, correct? Tell us about it.
Yeah, that's correct. These two were actually, they're actually believers in Jesus, which is amazing. But these were two diplomats that were fatally shot close range, as it reports. Really, they were just coming out of the Jewish Museum in Washington, D.C. after an event. There was already protests that were going on outside, and an individual that screaming free Palestine, and an individual came up and murdered them at close range, these two Israeli diplomats. And so, again, this ties into something that I think is important for us to talk about, David, which is the rise of anti-Semitism. And I want to define anti-Semitism because a lot of people don't really know what that means. And I'm not saying that to put down your audience. I know statistically we have stats and numbers that show that people don't know what that means. And what anti-Semitism is the targeted hatred of the Jewish people. And so, this has been going on since biblical days, the targeted hatred of the Jewish people. And I want to give a definition to it that I actually didn't come up with. I have to give credit to a Israeli journalist. His name is Haviv Redick Gur, and he writes for the Times of Israel. And he defines anti-Semitism as the belief that the Jewish people are the obstacle to global redemption. You know, it's not just enough that, you know, it's not just stereotypes. That's, you know, everybody's got a racial stereotype for any individual race. We're not just talking about stereotypes. Those are wrong, too.
Right.
But the actual deep down hatred of the Jewish people comes from the fact that you actually believe, anti-Semites actually believe Jewish people are the obstacle to global redemption. And that's why all of a sudden they'll say things like, Jews control the media. You know, when you say Jews control the media, you're saying, well, I can't even get my voice out because the Jewish people control it. Or Jewish people control the banks. So how am I ever going to have autonomy in my financial life? The Jewish people, they prevent us from moving forward. Or, you know, there's so many various ways that the stereotypes play into this idea that the Jewish people are the obstacle to global redemption. And I think it is one of the best definitions because that's the way that Satan is deceiving the world. Because the reality is, the actual biblical approach is that Jewish people are the answer to global redemption. They aren't the obstacle, they're the answer. That's why Satan is trying to deceive people to believe that they're the obstacle to global redemption, when in reality, they are the answer. Why? They provided Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, who's our Savior, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, our King. And so they provided redemption. They provided the Word of God that we have, that we rely on and we trust in, the authority of God. God's word in our lives. Came from the Jewish people. And also the fact that God's not done with the Jewish people, according to what the scriptures say. So if God's not done with the Jewish people, then clearly they are a part of God's plan for global redemption. That's why we teach this at prophecy conferences. But really, if you think about Haviv Redick Gur's definition of anti-Semitism, it's perfect. Satan is doing all that he possibly can to bring about deception. When they scream free, free Palestine, you have to think about it. They're saying, we don't even want any Israel on the land. It's not just free Gaza or free the Palestinian territories. It's Israel should not exist. And they're willing to even murder Israelis over this. You saw it on October 7th. You see it here. Or attack them. Or think about the protests on college campuses. It's so interesting. Oftentimes, these progressives on college campuses will link police brutality with the existence of Israel. What does one have to do with the other? And so ultimately, you see this belief that Israel is an obstacle to global redemption, when really the biblical truth is, no, according to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, Israel is going to be a part of the plan of global redemption, and Satan is doing everything he can to unwind that.
Thanks, Chris. Amen. Let's talk about that belief for a minute and the obstacle, seeing as Israel and the Jews being an obstacle, because the hatred of the Jews, you could put a word before that, irrational hatred. So let's bring in the spiritual aspect to this. It is demonic. It's demonic because it's there's a spiritual dynamic behind it, that the warfare, the enemy, the Jews are a threat. He hates Israel. He hates Christians, but he hates the Jews. Would you care to speak to the spiritual dynamic underlying this? Because it is almost an irrational hatred of the Jews, isn't it?
It is, and I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, when I look at that definition that the Israeli journalist Haviv Redick Gur gave, I can't help but look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And in that passage, God promises Israel a land, the land of Israel, descendants, the Jewish people, and a blessing. That not only a blessing that God would protect them, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, but also the divine purpose of why God chose Abraham. Because through you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. They had a divine purpose to bring the message and truth of salvation that would come through Jesus the Messiah to the entire world. Through you, Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Mm. What's interesting is that when you look at the history of anti-Semitism, it's a shapeshifter. David, it moves from religious anti-Semitism when, you know, you go back to the days of the Book of Esther, when Haman says in Esther 3:8, there's a certain people, king, we got to get rid of them, to the Spanish Inquisitions, when they would tell Jewish people in 1492, hey, look, convert to Christianity, Catholicism, or flee or die. That was your options, okay? So there's religious anti-Semitism, even to the point where my grandmother talks about the fact that she grew up in a Catholic church where she learned in school that Jesus was the Jewish people were Christ killers. It was all the Jewish people's fault. That's religious anti-Semitism. But then there's also genetic anti-Semitism. That comes in the 19th and 20th century with the rise of Hitler and how Hitler gravitates not to your faith. Forget about your faith. Forget about what you believe. It actually has everything to do with who you are, your DNA as a Jewish person. And, you know, I was in Israel a couple weeks ago, and I was just going through Yad Vashem, Israel's Holocaust Museum and Memorial. And I saw a sign that really captured me, David. It said that in the Warsaw Ghetto, there were 3,000 Jewish Christians. And you know what's amazing? That didn't stop Hitler from killing them. Because they were Christians, it didn't matter. Their DNA was Jewish, and they found the same destiny that secular Jewish people found, religious Jewish people found, even Jewish believers in Jesus found. They all landed in the gas chambers in the death camps of Auschwitz-Birkenau. And so you can imagine for Hitler and for this other form of anti-Semitism, it's genetic. And then finally, you know what we're seeing today? Statehood anti-Semitism.
Yes.
Explain to me why in the world these young Israeli diplomats are in Washington, D.C. at an event and minding their own business, and they were murdered. They were murdered for an event that's for a country that's on the other side of the world. What is that? What does one have to do with the other? They were Jewish, they were supporting Israel, and they were murdered in the United States for a country on the other side of the world. That's what you're seeing with the rise of anti-Semitism today, yeah. Statehood anti-Semitism. College campuses are in an uproar. Why? Because Israel went to war against its enemy, Hamas. And what happens? You end up with a spread of anti-Semitism and rise of anti-Semitism globally. What does one have to do with the other? What does a Jew in France have to do with Israel's defense? What does a Jew in Argentina or a Jewish person in Los Angeles or Brooklyn, New York have to do with Israel? It's called statehood anti-Semitism. And isn't it interesting? You ready, David? Watch this. This is the spiritual component. We talked about statehood anti-Semitism. God said to Israel, to Abraham, I'm going to give you a land. Jewish genetic anti-Semitism that comes from the 19th and 20th century, ultimately, with the Nazis. Think about God says to Abraham, I'm going to give you descendants, actual descendants, DNA descendants, the Jewish people. And then think about the last one, religious anti-Semitism. What did God say to Abraham? Abraham, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. You know what Satan does, why it's spiritual? Satan takes Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and he flips it over to deceive people once again. You want to know what anti-Semitism is? It's taking what God promised Abraham and he taking it lightly. And ultimately, God says, I will bless those who bless you. And those who take this promise lightly, I will curse.
Mm. A lot there to think about, brother, but thank you. Thank you. Very good. Chris Katulka, Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. When we come back, we're going to talk about how should the church respond to this. These are current trends, not just in America, not just in Israel, but around the world. We've got that coming up on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily. World news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Hey friends, right now we're enrolling at Freedom Project Academy. students for this fall with live anytime and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade in our Judeo-Christian online school. To celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses. Visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com. Use the code David15 to save 15%. That's David15 and save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. Chris Katalka, I just appreciate you, brother. Your wealth of information, and it's a very important topic. So back to the killing of the Israeli embassy employees. It's no surprise that they were targeted near the Jewish Museum. I expect there might be more of this around the country due to what the radicalism we've seen on college campuses and the talking points. The truth never seems to get out to the media where we can confront the lies. But how should the church, Bible-believing Christians, be responding to this? How can we?
Well, we already said, David, get your stickers at gofoi.org/stickers. You want to show the world what you believe in, and you have a sticker that says Israel forever, or God bless Israel, or pray for the peace of Jerusalem, or I love Israel. I promise you, someone's going to say something. It's your way to defend why Israel matters to God and why we should be standing up against anti-Semitism. That's one. We'll send you 50 free stickers right there. gofoi.org/stickers. But David, I'll say another thing, and it hit me not long ago as I was reading through Romans chapter 11. Sometimes the church, I believe, looks at what's going on in Israel and they go, that's not Israel. That's secular Israel. As the church, we don't have to really worry about that. We don't have to. I was really surprised how many churches didn't pray for Israel after October 7th, or didn't take a stand after October 7th. But I was reminded when I was reading through the section in Romans chapter 11 where the Apostle Paul talks about the olive tree. And he says, now, if some of the branches were broken off and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among them and participated in the richness of the olive root, that's us Gentiles being welcomed into this tree, which goes roots go down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If we have experienced the richness of the olive root, it says, do not boast over the branches. But if you boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. And I was thinking, it's so true, because Paul is saying, don't boast not just over the Jewish branches, actually the ones that were broken off, it said. We shouldn't be boasting over them as if we've gained and they lost, like we're winners and they're losers. No, it actually, Paul is showing that as the church, we should be praying for Israel and the Jewish people. We should be supporting Israel and the Jewish people, because the Apostle Paul wanted to use the Gentiles in order to cause jealousy among the Jewish people, because we carry the promise of the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit is a promise that wasn't made in the New Testament. It's a promise that goes back to Ezekiel chapter 36, right before Ezekiel 37, when God promises to restore Israel to the land. Right before that, he says, I'm going to put my spirit in you. Yes. It reminds us of Jeremiah 31, the promise of the new covenant, a promise of an Old Testament prophet, Jeremiah. These are prophecies that were intended for Israel that by God's kindness and mercy and grace have been given to us as believers in Jesus. And you know what? We shouldn't boast over that. We should show the same mercy that God has shown to us. And how do we do that? We love the Jewish people. We support Israel because, again, God says in Genesis 12, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you.
I guess people look at, for example, that verse, and maybe they don't think it's literal. They don't think that God will bless us if we bless Israel. Now, there's an individual aspect to that, and then there's a national aspect to that, meaning America has been an ally of Israel, and I believe this country has been blessed. We can talk about this on another podcast, maybe, Chris, but I believe America has been blessed big time because of our support and our defense of Israel. Could you share some thoughts on that in the last couple minutes here?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times if I'm having this conversation with somebody who doesn't believe in the Bible, I say, okay, so you don't believe in the Bible, that's fine, but let's just look at history. Let history be your guide. If you need empirical evidence, history can be your guide then, and then you'll see it's in the Bible as well. I will bless those who bless you. And it actually, in the Hebrew, it doesn't say I will curse those who curse. In the Hebrew, it's two different words for curse. It actually says, for anyone who takes this lightly, I will curse, which means you don't even have to curse Israel. You just need to take this promise lightly, okay? And so what happens is, if you look through history, there is no more Egypt in the way that there was an Egypt in the days of the Bible. It's a different Egypt, just same name. They're gone, okay? The Assyrians, there's no Assyrians. I have no Assyrian neighbor. I don't know an Assyrian. There's no Babylonians. The Greeks are not the same Greeks that they were. That empire rose and fell. The same thing with Rome. You could talk about, again, the Spanish Inquisitions, the Crusader period. You could talk about the Russian pogroms. You could talk about even up to, we had mentioned Hitler and the Nazis. Just 80 years ago, 6 million Jewish people were systematically killed. And yet, somehow this group of people that make up less than 1% of the world's population are still here today as a testimony of God's faithfulness. I don't know about you, David. I don't know a Hittite. I don't know a Canaanite, but I know Jewish people. That just goes to show God's faithfulness. And then you know what I do? I take them to the Bible. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. You better believe that that promise still matters today. And I am thankful that we live in a country that supports Israel and the Jewish people and an administration that wants to defend Israel and the Jewish people as much as we possibly can.
Yes, praise God. And you know, I just really think sometimes that we take it for granted. We are born post 1948. How miraculous the rebirth of the nation of Israel was in 1948. And we're here it's been our lifetime, right? Israel's always been a nation. But there's just a miraculous regathering from all over the globe when the land was a wasteland, and that was prophesied, right? A wasteland for almost 2,000 years. Amazing.
That's right. And, you know, there are still Israelis who were born prior to 1948 that saw the existence of the state of Israel coming, and they're still alive. So they can tell the story of what it meant to come from 1948 to today. And I'm sure they definitely can tell some stories as well.
Yes. Well, praise God. Chris Katalka, love you, brother. Appreciate your work. To be continued. How can we be praying for you personally in your ministry?
You know, you can be praying that God will continue to open doors to minister the truth of his word about Israel and the Jewish people and churches around the country. You can be praying that we find more field workers with Friends of Israel, those investing in the Jewish community around the United States and Canada, that God will bring us new workers, a new generation of young adults who love Israel and the Jewish people and proclaim that truth and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for that as well.
Amen, brother. And we've got to get some pastors in America teaching the whole counsel of God and supporting Israel. And maybe it starts with their understanding or re-education. But that's a whole nother podcast as well. So, brother, thanks for your time today. Lord willing, we'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right. Most welcome. All right, guys, again, the website, foi.org. Friends of Israel is foi.org. So important. And I'm sure there'll be more stories like the one we just talked about earlier about the two employees of the embassy. But this is the day and age. It's warfare. It is warfare. The Bible's real. Satan's real. The battle's real. But we are here for such a time as this. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.